Okay, everybody, we're ready to start our meeting for tonight. This is Thursday, May 18th, 2006. It's 4:35 p.m., and we're at the South Bay Community Center. Please, everybody, stand for a salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Ms. Vega, can you do a roll call, please?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Cicina?
Here.
Vice President Fouché?
Here.
Director Tacker?
Here.
Just to let everybody know in the public that our president, Lisa Schicker, will be just a few minutes late, and she'll be here shortly. So thank you for that. This is closed session items that we will be discussing, and I'll read into the record our closed session items. Do we need to receive a report out of closed session from the last time, or no? Next. Regional Water Quality Control Board versus LOCSD, CACL, temporary TSOs, appeals, and State Water Resource Control Board. Next. Montgomery Watson Harza versus LOCSD and Slo Superior Court. Next. Kornbaum versus LOCSD, Bruce Buell, Bruce Pickens, and Slo Superior Court. Next, LOCSD versus Regional Water Quality Control Board as designated party to individual CDOs. Next, Merrill versus LOCSD and Slo Small Claims Court, case number SC60095. And lastly, Stuart Avant versus LOCSD and Slo Small Claims Court, case number SC060026. Item B of closed session will be anticipated litigation. And item C will be a discussion about our real estate holdings. And is there anything else I need to do besides that? I think that covers it.
Yes, Mr. Vice President. Just for the record, we have President Schicker's arrived.
Well, she has. Good. Thank you. I just read into the record. I'm assuming we'll go into public comment?
Yes, sir.
Public comment for closed session items. If anybody would like to speak on our closed session items, please come to the podium. And if you so do desire, state your name.
My comment is on the taxpayer's watch on the first item. My name is E.B. Van Eckeren, and I live in Los Osos. I never intended to get involved in the sewer controversy, but here I am. I would like for everybody to concentrate on what we have in common rather than our differences. I'm convinced that the majority of Los Osos wants a sewer, and the sooner the better. Anyone here that does not want a sewer, speak them up. What can we do to obtain this goal? It seems we, the people of Los Osos, have to take matters in our own hands. We need to unite and show the Water Quality Control Board that we do want to cooperate and do not want to pollute our water supply. I suggest to offer the board to voluntarily pump our tanks at least once every 3 years, starting with those tanks that have not been pumped for many years. If the Los Osos community agrees to that, then the Water Control Board can start testing, and if we are contaminating the groundwater, we can increase the pumping. At the end of the year, we should all be at a 3-year level. In the meantime, we should request our present board to cancel all pending lawsuits from both sides. I'm convinced that all members of this board, as well as the previous one, were and still are honorable members of our community. They may not have acted the way we wanted them to act, but I strongly believe that they honestly believed they did the right thing. It is not easy to bury the hatchet after all that has passed, but unless we mend fences and start communicating in a civilized manner, but we lose ground and the respect of everybody around us. Both sides need to compromise. We all need to compromise and find a middle ground for the good of Los Osos. If we show a united front, we can deal with the Water Control Board, knowing that we have the community behind us. They are not our enemy and do not want to turn the whole community against them by loading heavy fines on people that can barely survive now. Let me give you an example of what will happen if they do that. During the Second World War, I lived in Holland under the German occupation. The German army needed local men to work for them, and all able men under 50 years that were not needed otherwise had to register. Strangely enough, all men under 50 suddenly disappeared or showed up with falsified passes. From time to time, the soldiers held what is called a razzia, going from house to arrest offenders, who were then put in prison and made to work for the Germans or were transported to German prisons. It was fairly easy to escape from the local prisons, but the Germans had a foolproof way to avoid that. Every morning, if someone was missing for the roll call, they would pick two people at random and execute them. It worked very well for them. For very few escaped after that, but it created an intense hatred against the Germans. That was felt by everybody else. If you want, punishing people at random is terribly unfair.
So before the meeting, Measure B is not defunct until the whole legal process has exhausted itself, which could be appeals and so forth. So Measure B is still a valid measure, according to Greg Murphy of Burke, Williams & Sorensen. And that was quoted incorrectly in The Rock as being defunct. And it's important that Measure B be defended by the district because it also has a big effect on some of the other contract issues. Measure B was registered March 2nd. Anything after March 2nd that was enacted in that's not in agreement with Measure B should be considered invalid in the courts. So it has a great deal of impact on the lawsuits and litigation with the state and with the contractors as well. I just wanted to make that note. And then the second thing I wanted to ask about of the three is, what are the small claims actions regarding? Is it the assessment money that people were trying to get back? And the third thing is item C, the real estate issue. Many people, as well as myself, would like to hear more information about the evaluation of the properties, how they were evaluated, who evaluated them, what their market value is now, and who is interested in them. And that, I believe it's only fair that the public should know who has shown interest in those properties and what the fate might be. And with that, I'll say, see you tonight.
Mr. Blesky, did you want to talk about the two small claims?
The two small claims? Merrill versus the LOCSD in small claims court, that issue is essentially the Merrills have asked for a refund of their assessments, and we have provided a response not only to them but all those that have asked for a refund of their assessment, their prepaid assessment, is that that will not be forthcoming. And the letters went out on that, and we will be going to small claims court, and we will present our case there as well to the small claims commissioner. As far as Sturton versus the LOCSD, that is no longer a small claims issue. Essentially, what the commissioner in small claims court did was completely ignore established precedents on administrative remedies and their applicability to public agencies, and that case now has been appealed and has been moved de novo to Superior Court.
Thank you. Okay. Who else would like to speak during public comment about the closed session? Anybody? Let's keep going. No, do you have anything to add about real estate?
No comments on real estate.
Okay. No comments on that right now? Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Regarding the refund on the assessments, and you said there was a letter that was sent out. I'll wait till. And secondly, I guess the other one's regarding the Sturt event versus LOCST and small claims regarding the water meter and all of that. And I'm just kind of curious how much money we have spent to defend that opposed to maybe just cutting our losses and just paying it, even though I know we're trying to set a precedence there. You know, sometimes you just have to eat some of these and go on to the next one. Just want to get a clarification again to the board, because there was another letter to the editor claiming that there's she's reduced it now, Joyce Albright, from $1.6 to $1.3 million in legal fees, which still doesn't make any sense. And also in her letter to the editor, now she's put it up to $600 million you guys are in debt, which, that's amazing. I mean, and concerning the property, it's my understanding that you can't disclose any of the information about the appraisals and all of that, because then you're giving it out to all of those that are interested parties in the property of what it's appraised for. They make their offer, and you go through that whole process of negotiation. And then once all that information is out there and they've decided and the board has decided to disclose it to the community, they will do so, and then that's when public comment occurs. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dugan?
On the real estate, I have many people asking me, well, doesn't the board realize that we need parks? And I know that there's a way you go around and the county gets a hold of this, but I think they need to be made aware that the county doesn't have first grab on this. They just need to be notified better than what the last one was. Now, my understanding was, and I've been hearing, I don't know if it's a rumor or a fact, that the CSD has been fined for not turning over documents for a certain court case, and I want to know what court case that was. So, and that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, who else would like to speak right now? We'll talk to you later about that. Until we have, unless you want to speak now about it. I can tell you what I know. Because I watched the news last night, too, and talked to Andrew Masuda. So the courts disagreed with us about what emails should be released. Emails about settlements for a lawsuit that is a lawsuit about validity. The lawsuit was about the validity of Measure B. The lawyers for the other side wanted emails about settlements about Measure B. So our lawyers said they didn't believe that they should give those letters over, attorney-client privilege, and the judge disagreed, and that's what happened.
Madam President, the other thing, too, is I talked to Mr. Onstad, and there was other emails that Taxpayers Watch had asked for regarding to current actions, and the judge did not give those to them. However, on discovery items, as Mr. Onstad had explained, when it has to do with discovery, there are sanctions that are mandatory by statute. So the judge had
He had no discretion after the point of that.
And quite frankly, it could have gone either way.
Okay.
But that was his decision.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Smith. Hi.
Hi. My name's Marie Smith, and I wasn't intending to make a speech, but I watched the meetings at home, and one of the things that might be nice is when you talk about real estate, you always give the parcel number on the agenda, and I never know which parcel is being discussed. If some way it could be identified by address or something, that's my suggestion.
Thank you very much. Okay. That is the Petrie Derby and Broderson? Okay. Those are both all sites, Ms. Smith.
Just for clarification, Broderson is actually two parcels. That's why there's three.
Yeah. Petrie Derby is one parcel, and Broderson is two. Okay, who else? Ms. McPherson?
Good afternoon. I wanted to comment first. I'll go through each item. The first item being the Taxpayers Watch, Joyce Albright, Robert Kreiser, Christopher Eisler. That is the Measure B. And I wanted to just get an answer on the date and time of the hearing. I believe it's May 30th, but I'm not sure the time. It's about the validity, and just I'm confirming this for my own knowledge and also to help the people at home who might want to attend. It's about the validity of the lawsuit being filed late. In other words, you settled the case and then another group picked it up. In my experience with government agencies is once a lawsuit is settled, another group can't just pick up that same lawsuit and then refile it. If they did that, we would never have government action on anything else. So some of the confusion of Measure B, I think, is exacerbated by the fact that the CSD filed to keep it off the ballot, and then when it got on the ballot and also passed, then it looked like, you know, for sure it's a valid initiative and it could be challenged. But the people challenging it was the new board. And the new board felt like, gee, this is a valid measure and we support it, and so we aren't going to continue this, and instead we're going to settle the complaint. So in doing so, I think that that's confusing to people who haven't followed this, but it looks like you settled with yourself. But in fact, you did not. You had a citizens group that worked from February on in nothing that you were directly associated with who had a client, and they settled with you. I just wanted to make sure that that's clear, because it's almost like you need a flow chart to follow it. The other one is claims. Bernard is on here, a contractor, and I understand it's impossible to settle contracts with our frozen funding. And my experience with claims is that you might pay pennies on the dollar, and that would be a wonderful opportunity if we didn't have frozen funds. And then also, and I think that that's another action by Taxpayers Watch, along with the contractors who donated money to their campaign. The other one here has been for so long, it's gender discrimination by the former board and employees. I don't know why that can't get settled, but it's a shame that you guys have to take care of the old laundry from the last group. And then the last thing is that I think that it's important that the real estate...
To cite the new project. And this is just a question. It's my understanding that the site selection tour was last week with Ripley Pacific, and I'm just curious if any of the directors went on that tour when they viewed the sites that were on their list. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the Barnard lawsuit. I have a real problem with not this board. I want them to take as hard a stand with them as possible. It's my understanding, I asked Mr. Blesky if they still are leasing the property where the pipe is at the corner of Pismo and South Bay Boulevard. And he indicated they were. Yeah, the property's fenced off. The pipe is still sitting there. It's my understanding they're still paying for the lease. They paid for the fencing. And if the community wants an indication of where some of the supervisor candidates are headed, in what direction, drive by there and notice that Roger Anderson's campaign sign is inside the fence on the big mound of dirt. Now, he may not know all the history behind that piece of property. He might not know that company gave $10,000 to the No on Recall campaign right before the election. But one way or the other, I think it's his responsibility that sign's there. I think it's a good indication to the community of, if he does become our supervisor, what direction he will take this project. He's indicated that in the paper. He wants it now. And if you look around town where the Anderson signs are by what businesses, I think it'll give you a good indication. For somebody who, in the last 3 years, I've probably attended 95% of the committee meetings and CSD meetings, and I've only seen Mr. Anderson in town at any of them twice. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak at this time? Okay. Okay, we're closing public comment on closed session, and we'll see you at 7 o'clock. Thank you for coming. Everybody, I'm sorry I grabbed the mic again. Hold on. She doesn't want me to do that. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming to the May 18th Los Osos Community Services District meeting. We have an interesting agenda tonight. This is a special meeting and not a regular meeting. First, we have some announcements. First, we have a report out of close. First, we have the roll call. Sorry.
Director Tacker?
Here.
Vice President Fiché?
Here.
Director Cicena?
Here.
Director Sennett?
Here.
President Schicker?
Here. Okay, now we have some announcements. Mr. Blesk, I have to report out a closed session. And I would like to introduce our attorney this evening, Mr. Greg Murphy with Burke Williams and Sorensen Firm. And he'll be here with us to assist us tonight. The two items that I need to report out of closed session are this. We, under pending litigation, and as an effort to stem litigation, the board has directed Mr. Blesky to write a letter to LAFCO in response to a letter that they just wrote us. And in the letter that they just wrote us, which we just got, and we don't have copies to give everybody, but we have a copy for the table, LAFCO is exploring options as they prepare for the dissolution hearing. And the two options that they sent us and that they sent the county were these. Option one was CSD, divest the project to the county. That's option A. Option B is CSD and county work out a joint powers agreement together and partner. So we're writing a letter in response to that letter, and the gist of the letter is going to be that we're very interested in partnering and we're not interested in giving up the project. We've come this far together. We've worked very hard on coming up with a project that's going to meet the needs of our town, and we want to retain ownership of that project starting over. As you may or may not know, the CSD claimed bias at those hearings, and there was some response to our claim for bias, and the attorney has recused herself. We also have claims of bias against some of the people on the prosecution team that are still remaining on the team. So, anyhow, that's the situation there. What's happening next is there's a briefing schedule, it's called, the briefings that are due by all the parties. That means anybody who received a CDO, anybody who is a designated party, us, will be filing report, you know, letters, reports called briefs by June 23rd, 2006, with a response due from the state by July 21st, 2006. And that's all we know right now about the CDO hearings as far as timing. The other thing that I did on, was I have invited the new attorney, Mr. Reed Sato, to come down and offered to give him a tour and introduction to the project from our point of view. And I haven't heard back from him yet, but the invitation is out there, and I've been told that he is intending on contacting us. So that's the latest on that, on the closed session items. So, with that, that's the end of the closed session report. And now I have some announcements from the public. Ms. Walsh, did you have an announcement?
have a couple of announcements. Just want to remind everyone, LOCAC has its elections this Saturday at the little schoolhouse behind the community center here. Voting is from 9 until 6. Is that right, Julie? 9 until 6. Bring a piece of identification showing your present address, where you live. And there's some hotly contested districts. I know Cuesta by the Sea, Sunset Terrace, Monarch Grove, and parts of Redfield Woods up to Sunny Hill has 4 contestants. I think that was Keith Swanson's district last time around, and he's running again for the position. Am I allowed to say I'm voting for him? We also have this Sunday at the community center a small fundraiser, the Hollywood Hats Tea. It's for the ladies. We're having 7 very charming gentlemen pour tea for the ladies. And we're having a Hollywood personality, Gloria Heidi, who's been on Oprah and Regis, etc., model hats from the 1940s films, Lana Turner, Marlene Dietrich, etc. And it's $7, so tell everybody about it. And one more thing coming up here at the Community Center, June 6th is Taste of South Bay. We have about 23, 24 different restaurants and wineries, gourmet food, wine, etc. It's one of our major fundraisers here for the Community Center. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. Any other community announcements of short order? Okay. Mr. Blesky, how about any announcements for the meeting? Do you have anything that you'd like to mention?
Madam President, members of the board, members of the public, I'd just like to introduce Kathleen Shoemaker, who's our interim administrative services manager. We have implanted a GPS tracking device because after the first week that she had, we do want to keep track of her. It's been a real rude awakening, I'm sure, but we're making progress, and staff has been helping her out quite a bit. I do discuss things with Kathleen, and that there is no jumping from the frying pan into the fire around here. You just get tossed right into the embers. But welcome aboard.
Welcome. Mr. Busky, would you mind telling the public what Kathleen's doing a little bit, just a tiny bit more?
Primarily, we have a number of financial issues that we're working with at all levels, and I don't want to get into the details, but we do have a budget we have to do. And Kathleen's also, she's taken that, working with the various department heads and all the staff to make sure that we get that adopted. As part of that is we're rolling in, although we have not adopted a mid-year, that process is going on as part of that so that we make sure we have our accounts in order. She, as of Monday, has taken on working with our accountant and our accounts payable clerk, working with a court-appointed auditor, and she's finishing our audit that needed quite a bit of correction that Anna Jane Hugh, as you remember, has worked with Mr. Bob Crosby, our auditor, to correct a number of things and get it cleaned up, and we're working to get that squared away. So she has quite a bit of cleanup to do, and she's got a lot of good ideas that she shared, that staff has shared with her on where we need to go, items that we want to get to in the future to make the CSD much more efficient, a little bit easier to track things.
Okay, and just a quick comment from me, maybe the other board too. I've had a lot of the public ask me when I say there's cleanup involved. And is there some time when you are going to present a report?
I'm going to be taking my general manager's report, and I'm going to be doing it orally. And on June 1, we'll have another written report on that. We're updating it. A lot has happened. I believe we have. And also, just to let you know that George Milanis, our utilities manager, is not available to take your questions this evening. He had a family emergency. His aunt that he's very, very close to, who helped raise him, has taken ill, and he's flown home to be with her at this time of need. Okay. We can take that next. Well, on June 1, my recommendation on that item is to just take and file the report.
Yeah.
We can answer any questions. Rob Miller's here. He's fully versed, and we will have another written report, first regular meeting, June 1.
Okay, so on George's report, if Rob can't answer it, we can ask again on June 1st.
Yes.
Sounds good. Okay, we're going to start the meeting, and I'm starting out tonight with a presentation of something that I know many of you are interested in, and we're hoping that this is going to show well on TV for people who have a lot of questions. but it has to do with the septic tank management program. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but the CSD has been responsible for the septic tank management program for a while, since they began in 1999. And there were some efforts that started that, and then they kind of got sidetracked when everyone went full bore on just the wastewater treatment plant. And you've heard us talk enough now to know that we're more about management of the basin, management of the water, all aspects of it. And so we're trying to take a more holistic water, wastewater resource management approach. And what I want to do tonight is just start introducing the topics. There's not going to be any decisions. It's just a report for discussion and thought, so all of us can be on the same page and get on this together. So I'm going to start the presentation now. I think I am. Okay. An integrated wastewater facilities plan and on-site program. As part of the work that we awarded this winter, we awarded a contract for a septic tank management program preparation to a firm called In Situ. And we've also awarded work to Ripley. So we've got long-term solution, some kind of sewer project, and we've got short-term solution, septic tank management program. And they kind of go hand in hand, and they go together. So what is part of his scope of work? A review of on-site technologies and assistance with remediation of district-owned septic systems at the Vista de Oro, Bay Ridge Estates, and Fire Station are included. Okay. The slides in this presentation are a combination of slides from EPA documents and a just-released handbook in December 2005. The California program, referred to as AB 85, which is on-site wastewater treatment legislation, tracks these recommendations and carries forward the extensive work that was done by the EPA starting in 1997. I'll be quoting from these manuals. This isn't stuff that I'm making up. This is stuff that was prepared by the professionals, the environmental organization of our country. And I want to comment on how a voluntary program of septic management fits into the overall wastewater management plans for our basin. We're all in the same bucket of water. We've been saying that, and we want to start treating it that way. We're in the same water basin, and pretty soon we're going to have a map up here so you can see the boundaries of that basin, so you can look at it and understand why we're all in this together. So we're trying to implement a wastewater management and a septic management program for our town. This is decentralized approaches to wastewater treatment. It puts the EPA on record as supporting management of these systems, especially for critical areas. It allows states and communities to have a document and a point of reference. This website's fantastic. You can all go to it, and you can read these documents for yourself. I have one copy here tonight of both documents, but they're 65 pages, 125 pages. So we really want to get those out to you eventually. This is just a kind of a summary of what is in those documents. It establishes goals, and it raises the bar for septic tank and on-site management. It's not mandatory. The EPA is depending on the states and communities to take initiative for implementation. And the state law, 885, goes farther for on-site treatments to make sure that it's advanced, to make sure that it's done. A report was given to Congress about on-site management. In 1997, the Congress asked EPA to examine decentralized wastewater. They were concerned about the widening gap between available federal funding versus the need for wastewater treatment infrastructure nationally. A lot of these old systems, big pipe systems around the country, were failing, leaking, needing repairs. Very expensive. Congress asked EPA to determine whether the decentralized approach was a viable option, which could result in long-term savings for communities. EPA published its response to Congress in April 97. We see both on-site and collection of some sewer in our town as the solution, the pieces to the puzzle that will fall together. It's a parallel track. Integrated resource planning demands that we provide a comprehensive water and wastewater program that includes management basin to bay. The program for water and wastewater includes all of Los Osos. On-site, in parallel with the water master plan and the wastewater project, is essential. All of those components make up a more holistic approach. The programs are like gears in a resources machine that work together to achieve the sustainable future. Okay. So the septic tank management program is a piece of the puzzle. It's not the only one. Okay, but it is a core component to an integrated water wastewater resource management program. It's required by the basin plan. It's required by 8312 and 8313. You've heard those mentioned several times. It's also required in the Los Osos discharge permit. It's also required by the new state law called 885, Treatment for On-Site Systems in California. And it's required for planning and loans. So it's something that is required by many documents. It's endorsed, and we want to continue on that path. EPA continues to support the most environmentally sound and cost-effective approach to implementing protective water pollution control solutions, whether it be centralized or decentralized. The management guidelines are intended to be used when a decision is to implement a decentralized approach. Certainly, areas outside our prohibition zone will likely remain decentralized. That's what has always been thought. Homes and businesses within the prohibition zone require best management practices to assure and demonstrate proper operation to regulatory authorities, as well as to remediate the effects of nitrogen loading to the groundwater through the use of technology where appropriate. So, this is a decentralized approach. And to avoid the speculation or debate on decentralized versus centralized, I am again using direct quotes from the EPA presentation with this slide. This is not my words, this is the EPA's. Okay. A decentralized approach allows for flexibility to use a mixture of technologies as most appropriate. Limited central sewering is appropriate for the high-density areas. That makes sense. We all know we have high groundwater areas and high-density areas. Clustering sewer in moderate-density areas and on-site systems in the outlying community. Instead of concentrating effluent in one area, making a major impact on the receiving waters, the treated effluent is more broadly dispersed, providing for better recycling of water resources. Now, many of you know, on the Brodersen site, we had a lot of concerns. All of our wastewater was going to be dumped in one location. And then the studies came out later that said that the site couldn't, the water couldn't get down to the lower aquifer after all, and then it was going to drain out to the bay, or it was going to drain out to Cuesta by the Sea, and we were going to have to pump it. And we didn't think that was a good idea, and we voiced our position quite loudly about that. So EPA's working definition of what's included in the term of decentralized is small wastewater volumes, domestic waste only, generally on-site, some cluster, generally septic systems, but also new technologies, generally subsurface dispersal, but also surface discharge. We have some new opportunities and new technologies that did not exist even 5 years ago. That's what's so exciting about this place we're at right now. We are aware of the problems of septic tanks. We're not pretending that there aren't problems with them. EPA has also provided the positive side from their own presentations, and this is a direct quote. New technologies allow overcoming site constraints, meeting more stringent water quality requirements to protect the environment and public health. 70% of the conventional systems is collection. We all know that the collection is the most expensive part. Clustered, on-site, alternative collectors all save in these costs. Low-density areas, on-site clustered, are usually the most cost-effective. We can target growth where it can best be accommodated. Barriers. There are barriers to the successful implementation of decentralized approaches, and they are identified in the response to Congress. And these are some of those. Lack of knowledge, misperception, legislative regulatory constraints, lack of management, again, there it is again in big letters, liability, engineering practices, financial constraints. So management, again, is the big deal. And that's where they do these, a whole volume of one of their books is just about the management of it. So what is a management program? The public needs to be educated, informed, and to support the program from the very beginning. We will have to pay user fees and approve plans to do this. We all have to pitch in if we want to do this. We need to evaluate existing water resources, have quality standards, and establish performance standards. Many are doing this already through water quality standards, source water protection programs, and etc. Some risk assessment is needed. This is generally the current practice. Prescriptive codes for these activities, such as siting, sizing, design, and installation. So these are all parts of the management program.
And it looks like a week to 10 days before they can take the full volume that they're accustomed to. I spoke with the septage receiver. The gentleman there was quite polite. I had a nice conversation with him. He wasn't happy about it, but he did have to call septage haulers and ask them not to come this week. So I don't know what those septage haulers are doing when someone has a backup, but I know I actually learned this from Al's wife sitting taking score at my son's baseball game. She said, we got a call from Santa Maria that we can't bring our trucks. So they had calls of septic systems that had either maintenance or repair issues, and they don't know what to do with the material. Al's does not have a permit to take the material to Bakersfield, which of course would be double or triple the cost for hauling that material that far away. Vicki reminded me what a wake-up call that is to our county, in that we are dependent on Santa Barbara County and the Santa Maria Wastewater Treatment Facility for our material. Our county needs to take a really good look at that and has to be talking within ourselves, within our Board of Supervisors, and every rural situation where septic systems are in place. People need to pay attention, especially as sludge regulations are pending. There's litigation, and then there's legislation that's happening between counties. We've all heard about Los Angeles and Kern County, and they're closing their county borders from those materials. So San Luis Obispo County needs to be proactive and have a place where septage can be handled. And I think this was this week for Santa Maria. It's a wake-up call to all of us that that is a... We certainly could not enter into bi-monthly pumping and depend on Santa Maria to take that material. They treat the septage from septic tanks, but also the waste from chemical toilets. So I don't know if Harvey got a call, but I would assume that they're not inviting those trucks in. They're not turning people away, but they are asking them to slow down the deliveries until the digesters at the plant are up and running. So I think it was a point of interest and something that we were concerned about when the project was proceeding, just for our decommissioning. Could Santa Maria handle what Los Osos was going to bring? And they can't. They can't handle the volume that, especially with the CDO and the bimonthly pumping regime, that was kind of ridiculous. But just an interesting another chapter for Los Osos to pay attention, and then the county.
Director Tecker, would you also comment? You might have said it, the capacity they can handle per day?
Yes.
And the upgrade that didn't happen.
Right. Some of us were under the impression, and they were too, a couple of years ago, that plant was going to double its capacity for septage handling because, again, they have a large region that they're treating the septage material. That project has been shelved, and they are limited to an average of 50,000 gallons per day. Some of us were doing the math with the bimonthly pumping regime for Los Osos, and I think the figure was maybe 89 homes a day at 1,000 gallons a day. We would already exceed their capacity. There's no way that facility could take it, and it's unwise. It's not good for our basin. It's not good for the environment. It was a real long shot, as far as I'm concerned, for the regional board to propose that. But it is only 50,000 gallons a day that they can handle, and it is a specialized treatment.
Thank you very much. Just some more information to share with the public and some reality check on sludge is a big issue, and it's not going away, unless you're a piranha. Or a sledgehammer. Okay, so continuing on with the presentation, this is again back to what is management. What is the management program for septic management? It also includes monitoring and reporting, which has rarely been done. Health departments get involved only when there's a problem reported, and enforcement if needed. So, What is a risk assessment? Maybe you've heard that word before. What does a risk assessment mean? Because we said that some risk assessment might be required. One of the missing pieces in the alternative evaluation was noted loudly by many of us with the Water Board when they proposed 5,000 cease and desist orders against individuals. It is the lack of determination to implement for new construction. Surface discharge requires coordination between the health and the stormwater discharge permitting agencies and the wastewater discharging agencies. We need to adapt to local ordinances and politics. This is the program one, system inventory with maintenance awareness. Appropriate level of management for low environmental sensitivity. Well, that's not us. Generally, conventional septic systems are adequate in this area, raising the bar for the bottom threshold of management. And this is just the summary of what I just said. Okay, program one. These are some of the areas. They don't have many physical and site constraints. Septic system's okay. Conservative prescriptive codes are enforced and personnel are trained. Software exists for keeping an inventory of systems, inspections, maintenance schedules, etc. And prescriptive codes need to be enforced. Reminders only. No monitoring, inspections, O&M, or follow-up. So we're a little beyond that. And here's the second level of management that can be considered. Again, and it's mix and match, and this is just what the EPA proposed. This is an alternative. Higher performance systems are needed. Wellheads need to be protected. Maintenance of these systems is more critical and more complex to make sure that they perform properly. Okay. Program three is management through operating permits. This is the appropriate level for environmentally sensitive areas where conventional systems threaten sensitive resources such as drinking water or shellfish beds. Sounds more familiar? It involves a performance-based approach, specific measurable performance enforced through a permit system. It can be burdensome, resource-intensive for regulatory authorities which issues and enforces the individual permits. Okay. Program 4 has to do with utility operation and maintenance. Appropriate where there is suspected impairment of sensitive receiving waters, such as shellfish beds and aquifers. Consistent, reliable, long-term performance is required. Homeowner no longer is directly responsible for the system performance. Utility can be a public or private management organization. They become responsible for the O&M and the permits. It requires routine inspections, consistent performance, private ownership is retained, but it may cause some conflicts between the homeowner and the operator. And the fifth level of program management is utility ownership and management. Same kind of health, environmental health conditions as the previous model. Utility is in ownership, and the system and the performance are invisible to the homeowner who just pays the bill. Consistency with other utilities that you are already using, such as gas, electric, and phone. That's how that's managed. It's kind of on this program five level. It gives the maximum flexibility to the community for wastewater planning, and it's the right mix and balance for centralized and decentralized treatment. So if you are, that's an intro. If you want to learn more about this, and of course we are going to be discussing this in communities, this is the way and direction we want to go. These guidance manuals are online. There's a guidance manual and a design manual, and there's what's the other manual? The other manual is how to use the guidance manual. There's three. Let's talk about government overlap. But there are three really big manuals, and they are very interesting, and they're easy to read, and you can order copies or you can read online. But according to the EPA findings, the benefits of a management program are accrued by both the communities developing effective management programs and the individual property owners. They include the following. Life cycle cost savings, a clear indication that in many cases the management pays for itself in terms of lower failure rates and the alleviation of the need for premature system replacement. However, this will depend on the types of systems employed and the management program chosen. Documentation of that savings is only now being initiated. It protects public health and local water resources. Although unqualified, septic system failures in the form of yard backups have been recognized as a public health hazard and an insult to natural resources for many years.
Improved management practices will minimize the occurrence of failures by ensuring, with proper planning, siting, design, installation, operation, and maintenance and monitoring, that pollutants are adequately treated and dispersed into the environment, thereby reducing the risks to public health and local resources. Protection of property values. And again, that's obvious to most of you. You want to make sure that your systems are working properly to protect your property. And management programs offer an opportunity to obtain that same level of service and aesthetics as steward communities at a fraction of the cost, providing property appreciation and protection. Groundwater conservation, that's a big one for us since we have saltwater intrusion and we don't have enough water. Well-managed on-site systems contribute to groundwater recharge. That's why it's so important. That's why it's such an essential piece of the puzzle. Many areas of the United States that have undergone rapid development and sewering are experiencing rapidly declining water tables or water shortages. Mrs. Vega, if you could link this site.
I just took a note.
Okay, so it will be linked to our website, so you can click right on it. It's really valuable information. Again, this is food for thought, introduction to the topic, bringing it back up for discussion, and when you come on up for public comment, you'll be able to ask questions about this part as part of the rest of the agenda. So thanks for your attention, and that concludes that presentation. Okay. So, okay, good. Okay, thanks. We're on the right track together, and it's very exciting for all of us. Okay, so I'm going to turn the next presentation over to Mr. Blesky. Is that who's next for his oral administrative report?
Madam President, the only oral report I have this evening is my generally written report, and I'll just go over some of the items. The project report update, I'm going to go ahead and have Rob Miller just give you a brief on where we are with Ripley Pacific. He's been tracking this for us quite closely.
Thanks, Dan. Ripley Pacific is, as you know, undertaking our project report update, and we were going to be approaching a very important milestone in that process. Near the first week in June 1st or 2nd, somewhere in there, we will be receiving a technical memorandum from the Ripley team with regard to site selection. So I know that they've been on the ground, in the community, visiting properties, looking at constraints, and so we're expecting that first work product from them in that time frame, which would put them in that fifth week in accordance with their schedule that they presented to us back when we approved the contract. So we're excited. That's a very critical step for the community, obviously, and allows us to begin thinking about environmental review and issues on those properties and in advancing the other portion of the big picture, which is a treatment plant located outside of town. So be happy to answer any questions, but we'll wait for that deliverable.
Any questions from the board on that report? Director Tacker?
When can we see the criteria in which they are looking?
I think at the same time that we receive the technical memorandum, the board would have an opportunity to look at that. Probably staff would take a little time with that, a few days. We want to get it out quickly. We don't have a lot of time for internal review. So at that same time, the board would look at it when we release it to the board for review. Also, the Wastewater Committee, I'm sure, will want to tackle that. Director Fouché might be able to speak to that, but I'm sure that will come before the committee also.
Vice President Fouché?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. We did discuss that last night at our Wastewater Committee meeting. Our next meeting, we're hoping to have a briefing of some sorts from Ripley, if we can, or from yourself. And I think that's scheduled on the 6th of June, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, that timing should be okay. Ripley does have a number of Wastewater Committee meetings in their scope, so
right.
This would be a good one, I think, to to advertise. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay, any other questions from the board this time? Okay. Anything else, Mr. Blesky?
Just to continue on, we also are in the process of finalizing our contract, Rob, with In Situ to get them on board and making the financial arrangements. However, I just have a preliminary report, and I believe this was presented to committee. I think a lot of the folks have heard that about our piranha up at the fire station, and we have been asked by the regional board to keep them apprised of any results that we get from that installation. And again, we've got about another 4 to 6 weeks before we can make sure that we have the process stabilized. But I reported, I believe my last report mentioned a significant two-log reduction in coliform production in the septic tank, which is a secondary treatment level in the septic tank. The installation of a lysimeter test site on the leach field, we pulled a sample last Thursday and did a field test on it, and we're getting 12 inches below the gravel. We're getting preliminary results of 1.2 parts. Is that total nitrogen or nitrates?
I wasn't involved personally in the testing, but if you test it with an ammonia kit and a nitrate kit, generally they would test both and add them together, and that would be those forms of nitrogen. It would include everything but organic nitrogen in that case.
And what we did on Friday that following week, we pulled up and did a certified test, chain of custody. We're waiting for those results to come back. Dr. Wickham is preparing an interim report for your consideration. And to develop this further, we will be coming back on June 1 with a recommendation for a contract to help us with the CDOs with Dr. Wickham. Staff will be bringing that to you for him. Is anywhere from $500,000 to $1.4 million to resolve the issues at both of those sites. It's very promising when it comes to the cost, but yet we have to make sure we got the data to support it so that the regional, if we do bring that to the regional board as an interim measure, that they will be receptive to it. We have had a number of positive regional staff on our septic plan. We've had a number of their staff members with, they're a little apprehensive, which I share that, but they're interested. And so we will complete work towards that end, and hopefully they will look towards us to come up with something. We are doing our assessment bond and wastewater bond assessments. We do have one thing on the consent calendar for your consideration tonight to prepare the tax rolls so that we can complete all of those activities required to support those. The project affordability study, right now we have that on hold because we're taking a look at the funding that we need to support our on-site and our septic program and also our EIR that's required for our main project report. I will be coming back to you when we have identified those sources of revenue. That will be done as part of the budget, but I want to be cautious on that so we don't get overextended. Wastewater construction claims and contracts. I'll just go down and give you a brief outline. Montgomery, Watts, and Harza has been in contact with our legal team and our construction contract teams, and we believe that, well, there's been some conversations about them coming and talking to us both informally and as a form of arbitration. We will have more of a report for you in detail on the success of those efforts in the future. Monterey Mechanical Construction and Bernard continue to have a lawsuit against this. They have failed to honor any of our response. Our response is requesting arbitration, which is contractually required, and we are going to be I can't hear myself talk with some of the disturbances in the back.
Excuse me, back in the room. Unfortunately, this room echoes like crazy. Everything that you guys are in the back saying bounces off our ears, and it's just hard. So please bear with us. If you want to talk, the back room or outside would be really great. Thanks.
Monterey Mechanical and Bernard have both continued on their failures to honor their obligations under their contract for arbitration. We are turning up the pressure on them, and we're developing our case so that after the audit's done by the court, that they will have we will be in a better position to leverage against them. We have also found that in an investigation of the backup documents for their invoices for progress payments in September, that there's significant irregularities and that they may have submitted false claims with the knowledge of MWH. More to follow. On the other hand, Whitaker Construction, we've had, you don't want to get with a contractor in a difficult situation, but if you ever had to have a difficult situation with a contractor, this is the one that you want to work through a real problem. Brett Whitaker You know, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but he's been a real gentleman. And we are right now negotiating with his firm, and he is actively pursuing a resolution other than litigation. And it's I don't want to jeopardize any of our conversations because there's much work in progress. It's been very fruitful and productive. And one thing I can say is that we do agree that if our negotiations fail, that we want to go to arbitration, which we are not only contractually obligated to do, but it keeps us out of the stinking courts. So it's promising, and I thank Whitaker Contractors for bearing with us. State Water Resources Control Board and Regional Water Quality Control Board, I won't get into any real discussions. I think a lot of the issues that we're pretty much aware of as a community, I certainly would take any questions that you may have to fill in the blanks, especially that the public may have. I've had a lot of contacts from the public regarding what's going on and had a lot of good information thrown my way and a lot of good brainstorming coming from our public and our committees. But I will be happy to answer any questions on that. Coordination with Regional Water Quality Control Board. It's warming up, but I've got a lot of work to do to get to them because as we formulate our septic management program and our project report, one of the things that they have been pressing me for is a firm schedule about when we're going to be done. And I hope that they're listening this evening. The only reason why we're not giving that to them is because we don't know what our project scope is. And anyone that has ever built a significant project, it's much more realistic to get the scope down and then set a realistic schedule. It's not that we're shunning them. It's just that we're not prepared to sit down and talk to them about something that they can live with and we can live with. That's real.
That's what they had. But they had their time schedule with the regional board agreed to after they had a project. And so I think that's why, Mr. Blesky, you're saying we're not ready.
We don't know what it costs right now because we don't know what it is.
We have
some ideas. I know everybody out here has some ideas, and the folks watching at home have ideas. We've got a lot of work to do to get all that in there.
Right, and this is a project, a total project versus an upgrade. So, and you probably know that that 15-year schedule has been reduced, and people are asking for it to be reduced further. But you see how it should work when it's working properly. It goes in that order. And that's why we've been very concerned, and we're in litigation about that because the original time schedule order was very short, very unrealistic, and it was appealed right from the beginning, and it's in appeal right now. Mr. Blesky.
There is a couple other issues. One. From an administrative point, we have sent out the RFP to recruiting for the new general manager. However, we have had two candidates that have kind of come forward, and we'll be calling and contacting them prior to. I would like you to know that we specifically were directed by the board after public comment that we do not expend the funds if something comes up beforehand. I think that the consultants do appreciate that, and I think we provide them a good scope, and we have a good project description, so we're not going to impact those consultants too much, but we do have two candidates that we've contacted. We'll be contacting. They've come to mind.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And if you're out there listening and you're interested, see Mr. Blesky. If you're an interested, perhaps potential candidate. So let's go on to. Unless there's any comments or questions, we're going on to committee reports. How about the wastewater committee? Is that Mr. McPherson? Are you going to report for your committee, wastewater committee report, or Mr. Fouché? Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Committee has been meeting once a month for the last 2 months instead of twice per month, and that's mainly because the business hasn't been motion and approval oriented. It's really a briefing and discussion. This last Tuesday we met and we reviewed the wastewater facilities project report update, the septic management study, the fire stations pilot programs, water characterization study. I'm just reading through my notes very quickly. Status of the affordability. And we talked a little bit about the wastewater fund budget and expenses. And, of course, with frozen funding, it's difficult to see quite how all of these things are going to be done concurrently. But we did hear from the general manager on some of the ideas on moving some of the money around and helping to cover these expenses until the financing can be worked out. Policies on the interim septic management program, which you presented tonight, and also another discussion item had to do with the state revolving fund loan application, which while we won't be filing a full application until we have a project, a letter of interest will be filed before the 30th. And with that, there was just quite a bit of discussion, and we're looking forward to the first technical report from Ripley Pacific, an update perhaps from in situ, and that would be on June 6th, 7 o'clock at the office. And if you have any questions, I'm sorry, 6:30. I always do that 7 o'clock thing. Sorry. 6:30, June 6th. And we hope to have a presentation on the site selection information. And with that, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Are there any questions from the board on the wastewater committee meeting? And I have one, Ms. McPherson. Originally, we were going to do some workshops. Is the Wastewater Committee considering any workshops at this time?
We had a workshop, yes. We had a workshop for on-site and septic management program information, and we thought that was very timely. And unfortunately, with the cease and desist orders, when we went to contact our speakers, one from the regional board, one from the county, neither one was willing to, or able, I'm not sure which, to go ahead and appear until the CDOs were heard. Now we've got quite a bit of a break. It looks like the CDOs won't be heard until the end of the summer. And because of that, they may be willing to come and talk about AB 885 and on-site and septic management. And so that was what the workshop was going to be about. We would be happy to present workshops in any of the areas that we're looking at. And there was interest from some of the environmental groups to come and talk about sustainability for our community and projects that would meet those requirements. And I understand
right where we stand, but it will be much, much less than that. And it is probably more like in the 12% range, someplace in there instead of over the 30% range. So that's a huge relief for us as a community to think that we were losing, or at least the water was unaccounted for at that kind of a degree, and it's not. So we're in much better shape than we thought we were. And so I'm happy to report that. The second agenda item was review crew logs with the water service replacement, and we just kind of went through the activities of the crews. And we did, and the revised bylaws was an item. We actually didn't get to that one. Some discussion on rate study. The water department is getting into a position where a new rate study, water rate study, needs to be done. And so that discussion is beginning. Talked a little bit about mid-year budget and the fact that the district is working on that, obviously, as far as where our finances are, as Dan had reported earlier. So we're going to get a handle on that. And we also just talked about the fact that they've lost one employee on the temporary workforce for installing those lateral systems and whether or not we're going to replace that position or not. And that was pretty much the gist of it.
When is your next meeting?
Actually, we're going to schedule a special meeting on May 24th at 6:30 at the CSE office to talk about some, as far as the rate study, I think was the biggest item that we wanted to talk about, and hopefully Mr. Milanos will know more about that unaccounted water. So we are going to have, at least for now, tentative set for May 24th.
Thank you, Mr. Fiché. Mr. Blesky?
Tap-taps, finance has got that date.
Pardon me?
Finance has got that date. We're just, we'll have to coordinate with you. We've got a calendar, and I know that Director Senate has the report from there.
Okay.
Just don't want to make sure what happened last Tuesday happens again.
Okay, thank you. Director Senate, do you have a report from finance, or is there anyone else from your committee who would like to report?
Well, we met last... Can you hear me? Okay. We met last Tuesday the 16th, and the discussion of the agenda items quickly reduced down to approval of the budget, specifically the mid-year budget from last year. And we quickly realized that we were spinning our wheels and very frustrated in trying to reconcile that budget. It's a very difficult thing to get a hold of because it doesn't have clear direction on where the budget items were developed from. So the committee has elected to create some workshops in order to develop procedures to actually redesign our budget process, our reporting process, and the way we anticipate our needs and how we report them. So we will have several workshops apart from the regular agendized meetings and basically on the individuals, the members' time, and the public's welcome too. Those meeting times, the workshops are going to be coordinated and arranged by the general manager, and we'll be reporting back and probably arranging a smattering of dates, proposals, and as needed, depending partially on the availability of the committee members to be really effective in trying to resolve these things, and staff, because we need staff participation too, because they're the ones that actually utilize the system and account for what goes into it and report into it and derive their budget from it. So it's going to be pretty comprehensive and a big undertaking, but really we're reconstructing, we're rebuilding and revamping the budget process, and we hope it'll lead to a system we really know what we're getting out of in terms of a reliable predictor on what our needs are, and at the end of the year, a way to tell where we are in terms of what our assets are and our liabilities. So that was about it.
The 24th?
Wednesday, the 24th.
Then I got it wrong.
Okay, you're Tuesday the 23rd for finance and Wednesday the 24th.
That I misheard.
Yeah. Okay, so we're fine on water.
Wow, that didn't take long to solve. Man, I wish the other problems were that easy. we also are looking at a number of Saturday workshops, and the philosophy is right now is to generally take a look where we have maximum participation and tackle the most difficult parts of the budget to get it knocked out.
Okay.
It's a tough one.
Great. Okay. The next committee report is Environmental Committee report. Director Cesena.
Tonight we're going to have our Environmental Committee Chair, Melissa Mooney, bring us a report. And I'd like to say before she speaks that I really had no input in what's going to come to the board tonight, but I couldn't agree with it more. And I think you would agree that I had no input in this. I mean, pretty much just a nod.
on our action that we took at the meeting, is that what you're referring to? Yes. Madam President.
Good evening.
Members of the Board, Melissa Mooney. I'm the chair of the Environmental Review Committee. And before I actually speak as a member of the Environmental Review Committee, I'll take off that hat for a minute and just express appreciation for the work that you're doing for Los Osos. That's my own personal appreciation.
Thank you very much. It means a lot.
Okay. Now I'm putting my hat back on as the chair of the Environmental Review Advisory Committee. We've met three times starting in, March, April, and May, I believe. And at our last meeting, we reviewed the Ripley scope of work and spent quite a bit of time discussing that scope of work. The committee does have some concerns, and we wanted to share those concerns with you, and that's why I'm here tonight. We've written them up, and I'll be handing this to you. I think number one, we're concerned a little bit, and we'd like to make a request of you, actually. And that request basically is to include us a little bit more in the coordination with your consultants. Our first request, if you will, is to consider immediately retaining or reinitiating the services of an environmental consultant. As everyone knows, we're on a very quick time frame, and the committee discussed at length and believes that it's really important to do this collaboratively and in parallel, and to get an environmental consultant on board right away is really important so that they can assist Ripley and speed up the process. Secondly, as I indicated before, we would like to request that we get included, the Environmental Review Advisory Committee be included, and the contracted environmental consultant in the coordination of the Ripley work on alternatives, preferably proactively. We're trying to avoid a situation where a consultant, an engineering consultant, does work and we find out about it afterwards and we don't have the opportunity to provide the upfront work. We think that we can assist and offer our expertise in this process, in this alternatives process. Thirdly, we'd also like to be copied on significant environmentally related communication between the engineering consultant, the environmental consultant, and agencies. Now, of course, that's going to be as you see appropriate. We don't want to insert ourselves inappropriately into the process, but again, as our skills can benefit the process and as we can stay informed, then we can help the process. That's the reason for that request. We also discussed, and I'm not the best person to talk about this, perhaps Chuck or someone else can provide some input here, but the committee did discuss keeping on-site technical solutions under review during the upcoming wastewater project analysis, as those solutions may be viable CEQA alternatives. Again, I'm not going to go into the specifics on that. Lastly, our fifth request is to directly involve our committee, the Environmental Review Advisory Committee, in developing objective and scientifically based ranking criteria for the alternative sites. I think that is really probably the number one important thing that our committee can assist with and that the environmental consultants can assist with in this process, is to make sure that the ranking criteria are developed objectively and they're scientifically accurate. And if we can get you to work with us in that regard, we are ready to work with you, with all the agencies, with the members of the public, and collaborate on a process, on a project, and get things moving. We really want an efficient dialogue, and we think that with this request being, and again, there's many ways that you can deal with this, and we're happy to talk with you about all the specifics, but this will start a dialogue, and we appreciate and look forward to working with you.
Still have a good technical advisory group that would include a component from environmental engineering, wastewater, etc., whether it be volunteer or whatever. I want to look into it and have that go along with the process at the same time, something independent this time. And we have really good people in the community that are volunteering, and it looks like Mr. Miller has something to say about that.
Well, I just, in hearing Ms. Mooney speak, I think it's absolutely correct. We've talked about the need for parallel processing. I think now is the time, given that this first initial tech memo would set the stage for exactly what she's discussing, and the ability for Ripley team to interface with certain community members on an ongoing basis will tremendously help that team, so they're not coming to a committee having worked for 3 or 4 weeks and then present something. We just don't have a lot of time to go back and forth. And so I'm confident that would be welcomed. Okay. And needs to be implemented quickly.
Yes. Mr. Buskey?
I think that this might be something we would want to discuss further, but I also believe you already have that structure in place with the hybrid ad hoc committees possibly out of your various existing committees.
That's just what I was going to ask Mr. Murphy next. I think I have the ability and to appoint an ad hoc committee to be a technical advisory committee.
Yeah, and we can do that. I'm wondering,
I want to make sure I can do
Rob,
that.
Rob, do we need to start that right Okay. Do we want to wait for that technical review to come in first as part of that first initial review to get them? Do we have time on that? Like June 1, do we have time to have it ad hoc volunteers or advice to the board president?
I'd like to have a little communication with a representative from the group to talk about over the next few weeks, looking at the next steps of retaining an environmental consultant and not wait. I think if we can have the ad hoc committee in place by the first or the second, that would be good. But let's have the discussion as to the next steps of retaining that environmental consultant and the RFP for that and how the committee can be involved in that very critical step. We do need some volunteer help on that.
Sounds good. Okay, Director Tacker?
I just was thinking another option for the Environmental Review Committee's involvement would be to have joint committee meetings, and you can have all of them participate. We'd probably need a larger venue. I think you're going to need a larger venue anyway when Ripley comes to the Wastewater Committee, because I think the citizen involvement is going to be interested. And but then both of your committees will have the ability to, you know, raise their concerns in that setting. So, you know, there's a couple ways to do that, but I think we're all going to be watching very closely, and it's a pleasure to have Melissa Mooney representing the Environmental Review Committee.
You bet. Okay, that's on our agenda. Director Sesenia?
I just wanted to follow up on putting together this technical advisory committee. Are we suggesting one member from at least wastewater and environmental? What other areas, and how do we get that committee up and running? I mean,
just a point.
Our next meeting isn't scheduled until June 13th. I don't want to wait until then. Yeah. Are you just going to appoint someone? Do you want to work with my committee chair and have her solicit input from my committee regarding who they want to represent them, or are you just going to pick which one of them you want on the technical advisory committee, or?
No, I would definitely like to work with the committees,
okay,
and work with some of the technical advisors in our community who are very active and
excellent,
who might also have suggestions. And so if you are listening right now and you think you have a technical advisor that might like to serve on an ad hoc committee to work with Ripley and work with in situ, I need to hear those names and those recommendations. And that includes committees, and it includes people who are very active in the public, are very informed on these issues. So, you know, we have some task forces, and we have some very interested citizens. And so I'd like to hear from you. And I plan to appoint an ad hoc committee if I don't have any disagreement from the board before on June 1st. Yes, Mr. Blesky.
Madam President, if I could suggest, we're not going to reach a decision tonight on policy, but I would recommend that we have the board liaisons from all committees. I mean, I'm speaking even emergency services,
yep,
as well as, and especially finance, although finance is going to be burdened. Both the staff liaisons as well as the committee chairs, possibly powwow, be sure to not violate the Brown Act board members, or have two board members, but have the committees work that methodology to recommend to you candidates for that. Certainly people from outside the committees would be strongly welcome. Some of the best discussions we get in some of these committees, I think, that will attest, is that we have some tremendous public comments by people not sitting on the committee.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm looking for some specific expertise this time, and that includes environmental engineering, wastewater engineering.
The problem we have is that I have to caution any email conversations that go in because of Brown Act with board members, not committee members, but board liaisons. So please,
yeah,
I
would ask the board liaisons to contact Dan. That'd probably be the best way, and then I can work through Dan for your, if you have nominations or interest. But members of the public, please let me know if you're thinking of anybody. It'd be great.
Okay.
We don't have time. Just want to talk to you. I already have some ideas of my own, so I've already been thinking about this, and I just wanted to piggyback onto Melissa. It ties in nicely to what Melissa needs and wants for her committee. So, okay. Great. Continuing on. Next committee report would be Emergency Services. Director Tacker.
I don't have anything new to report except an upcoming date and time, and that would be Tuesday, May 23rd, 5 p.m. at the Fire Department. Emergency Services Committee will be meeting. Our agenda should be posted either today or tomorrow. So look for that in the window or call the district and we can get you a copy. So Tuesday, 5 o'clock, May 23rd.
Thank you. Ad hoc committee reports are next. Anybody here from Grants Committee tonight? I don't see anybody. I know the chair is out of town and the second in command is in Washington, right?
Okay. Madam President, I have one comment. I have been talking to some of the I talked to one specific member on Grants Committee, and what they have is what's been reported to me is they came to a standstill because of some of the problems we've had with the state when it comes to our current actions with the state. Their request for direction from me was, should we send letters to the regional board to request their approval of some of our projects and applications for the grants? The decision was made that my advice to those members of the ad hoc was submit the letters for authority. If they're going to tell us no, that's their prerogative, but we have to ask. So they're going to move forward on that. And that's right. A lot of work they've done.
I know they have. And again, I've said this before, and I've said this to them, and I'll say it again. There are other avenues besides the state and regional boards. There are nonprofits. Hey. Conversation again. I cannot hear. It's really echoey tonight. There's other avenues besides the regional state boards for money. And we need to start looking at those.
I think that they will probably bring a surprising number that they have really researched. They've been working very hard. They came to this standstill, and they got rebuffed from members of various staffs at the state, but we're moving through anyway with the written work.
Sounds good. Okay. I have one comment to make on grants, and that's I'll do that in a minute, so let's just keep going. Community Outreach Committee, Director Tacker or Ms. Renshaw? Pat?
You know what? Really quick, I wanted to say the Outreach Committee is very lucky to have Pat Renshaw. Pat has a... you could tell everybody yourself a little bit about your background, but it's very helpful in what we're doing. Dave Dugan has been assisting, and we've had great input from Lindy Owen, Diane Burke, Petey Johnson, and Mary Buddha the last few weeks. So if you don't mind, we will not be meeting tomorrow night. It is my anniversary. So yay. Tom Tacker's taking me out. And because I said so. And so we're going to take a Friday night off. But Pat's going to go ahead and give you an update on what we've been up to the last couple of weeks.
We've been very busy. I also wanted to mention that the postcard did go out. Thank you, Lindy Owen, for doing so much work on that. And we had the bear cub go out, and now we're working on the bear pride. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. But this week we've been working on a video production that's taking place. And what it is, we're calling it Sunnyside Chats. And we've had two of our board members show up, and I'm hoping the other three will join me next week. And what it is, it's just a way that the community can get to know the board members better. We see one side of you at the meetings, and we know that there's other sides of you, and we want the public to be able to get to know you better, because we're all going to be working together on this project, and there's going to be so much going back and forth. It's just good that they can see you as real people, and so when they do see you on the street or in the parking to look at the committees, and especially since you're developing new committees too, I don't want to put anything in concrete, but I almost see sort of a Schulhauser type of thing following this process along, because it is such an interesting process, and who knows, down the line people might want to go back and look and see how you did things, because I know we're going to end up with a fabulous fabulous community here. And I want to thank you guys for that, too. I'll take off my hat and say thanks for all the hard work and all the detailed commitment that you guys have put into this. Any ideas you have, just let Julie know, and she'll pass them along to us.
Wonderful.
Okay.
And then just a final comment. This is volunteer, right?
You're all volunteer?
And
yes.
A lot of people have been asking me, are you? Yeah. This isn't costing anybody anything except volunteers, a labor of love. That's what I understand.
Well, it is. And just a side note, there was an Oprah show, and some music video person took a $100,000 video and did it themselves and donated all the money to worthy causes. And I kind of feel like that's what we're doing here, because everybody is volunteering all of their time, all of their talents to make this thing happen. And it's so much appreciated. I mean, we're a small group, you know, really. And I am amazed at, you know, the coordination that's taking place to actually bring these products out. I can only speak for us, and I just understand. I actually attended another water meeting and saw all of the input that's going on there. It's amazing having so many people just coming out and donating their time and their expertise to really see these projects happen. So I really appreciate that. And if there's a way we can help portray that to the public, that's what I would like to see.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from the board? Director Sennett.
And are you going to put these on CD, or how much are we going to charge for these?
Is that a fundraiser for the...
Not that interesting.
There may be a way to produce them if people want to buy their own. But the process right now, and I'll have to talk to Nancy about this, but is to get them on to the channel 20. But I think for the library and for the office, yeah, we'll make some DVDs is the new thing now. See, no more CDs. We're moving on.
Yep.
But,
great.
I'll be calling you, too. Thank you.
Thanks again, Ms. Renshaw, very much. Appreciate your time. Yes. Okay. Wonderful. Okay, the next ad hoc committee has to do with the LAFCO, coordinating with LAFCO in the county. And Director Sasania has a short report.
We've tried to step up our outreach in the past couple of weeks with the county supervisors and the LAFCO representatives in particular, because we have some rather significant issues coming up with those two bodies. And it was Tuesday. Lisa and I visited four of the five county supervisors, and we had some pretty good talks. I don't think anything concrete came out of it, except that we pressed them quite heavily about what they had to offer us in terms of ways to improve the image or to let people know what's going on out here. We asked them, frankly, what do you hear? And I think we heard a ship without a rudder. At least once. But at least we're dialoguing, and we're there talking and letting them know how serious we are about solving all this. And with the LAFCO letter that came in, we have a whole lot more to say to them next week. So we'll be back Tuesday at the public comment during their board meeting. I guess I just warned them. But they knew we would be coming anyway. And I really think the more we get out and talk with them, the more they're going to see that we're serious about this. We're not stonewalling. We did hear that a couple of times, too, that it's still taking people a while to get past the idea that we're part of a Stop the Sewer movement. And I don't know what more to say about that, except we'll say it again. There is no S-T-O-P in M-O-V-E. It was Move the Sewer All Along. Thank you.
Madam President, I got a comment on Director Cesenas because I got to thinking about that after we talked about that.
Do you have more information than you had before we came here? What do you need from us? What do you hear about us? And so I got some feedback. We both got some really good feedback about those things, and that's what we mean. The dialogue was good. They opened our eyes to some questions that are out there. They did say that they very much appreciated positive, constructive public comment at Tuesday morning meetings. And they wanted it to be positive, not negative, and that it was very helpful and that they appreciated it because we wanted to make sure we were coming across positive and informative, not negative and blaming. And that's what we've been trying to do. And they did appreciate that. I thought that was a good point. And they do want to hear from people. They don't know a lot. They know a lot more now that we've been there. And Director Tacker's already been there, too. So we're trying to outreach. I encourage you to do the same as citizens who care about your local government, both to the LAFCO members and the county members. And Director Fouché and I also met with county staff, Ms. Wilcox, Gail Wilcox, the head assistant administrator, because David Edge has recused himself. And we met with Pavel Ogren, assistant director of public works, last Friday. And we had a very productive conversation with them, too, just sharing information and ideas related to roles, potential roles in the future, how we could work together and partner. And that's what we're going for. We're going for what's best for the community and trying to reach out to these people. It takes a lot of effort and energy. You know, we all have busy lives, but I would encourage you to do the same. It doesn't just have to be us. We're all doing this. And the other liaison is with Paul Hood of LAFCO and staff. And we know that some citizens are working very hard to establish dialogue with LAFCO, and we appreciate that very much. And we are doing the same. And I do talk to Paul at least once a week to make sure that he has everything he needs from us. So just want to report on that for you, too. So now we're going on to our next ad hoc, which is the Regional Water Board Negotiation Team. Mr. Fouché or Mr. Cesenia, do you have anything to add or discuss on that? I don't think you did anything.
Yeah, I reported on this the last meeting. So it was Chuck and I went and talked to Mr. Packard. And we just had a nice discussion. We sat down, we talked for an hour and 10 minutes. We kept expressing the project and the fact that the water quality is the reason we sit behind this desk. It's the reason why we sit in these chairs. It's not because of political ambitions. It's because of our water quality, and that's what we're all about. And I did express concerns about the 2010 schedule that's been placed on the CDOs and the reason why they selected that, and that we need to really talk reality on schedules. And I think that was actually my personal professional opinion is one of the fatal flaws and was the fact that this last project was so accelerated they could not really meet the milestones that they needed to meet to have a successful project, and it failed. So that's why we're here today. And I told them I was concerned about that. I did not want failure on the end of this process. We want success. So we got to do it right. We got to have enough time to do it right and meet the milestones that we need to meet and bring the community along with us in the process, and all the regulators and all the other agencies and all the partners. So we're doing it, and we've got a goal, and we're going to get there successfully. So I think he took that to heart. And so anyway, those discussions are going on, and we just keep discussing those things to make sure that they're clear on what we're doing and even our expectations.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay. The next advisory committee, ad hoc committee, is Senate's Water Resources Advisory Committee. It's a county committee, and I don't know if you've met yet, or do you have anything to report? I didn't think so. So Steve hasn't met yet on that committee, but he is our appointed member, and he will be reporting on that in the future. And the last ad hoc committee is the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, and Chuck and I both are on those, and do you have anything you'd like to report from your meetings? And I did have the executive committee only meets quarterly, and I met last week with the executive committee of the Morro Bay Estuary Program and learned about their plans, their work plans for the next few years, and learned that they have a lot of grant money. And that's what I wanted to point out to the grant committee, if anybody's listening. I don't know if you've tapped them yet, And somebody needs from the grant committee needs to get in touch with Mr. Dan Berman. They have over $1 million in grant money that's available right now. And we are in their CCMP plan, which is their comprehensive management plan of action items. And I want us to apply for some of the grant money. And so I just wanted to pass that on to the grant committee. If you're listening tonight, be in touch with Mr. Berman, and he can give you the details of the application process. But that was discussed in that meeting, and I really think that we could have some good ideas for
staff and even the utility staff that I work with every day. We're being kept very busy. There's plenty of work to be done, and we're a very good group, I have to say, and we get along very well together.
We couldn't agree more, and we thank you for your service every day.
Madam President, if I could just add one thing, is that I'd like to thank Karen and that same staff for, they got a lot of balls in the air, a lot of little batons and broken glass and chainsaws along with it. But the one thing that I'd like to just to acknowledge is that Karen and the staff has really got us caught up on our Public Records Act. We're not where we need to be. They know it, but they're working there, and they're keeping up. And I'm hoping that the public is getting their responses in a much more timely manner. That's something that's very important. They took it to heart, and I'd like to thank them for that.
Great. Okay, I think, thank you very much, and I totally agree. Thank you for everything. Anybody else have anything to add at this time? The public's turn to talk, it looks like. They're lining up. And you want to take a break first? We need to take a break first. I hope you can wait, Ms. Calhoun. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, and we'll come back.
And people are trying to kill you. Zigging and zagging is usually probably the smartest thing to do. One thing that concerned me when I heard people talking about supervisors, these are people that are governing our lives, and if they're that poorly informed, that's kind of alarming. It seems to me they would have a better handle on what's really happening out here than somebody telling them something, and then that's where they get their information. What Mr. Fouché said, I couldn't agree more. The Regional Water Quality Control Board had apparently pulled a number out of the hat, 2010, as this time schedule, and they're pressing for another time schedule. I hope to heavens they will remember during the ACL hearings, former General Manager Bruce Buell testified under oath four times that the time schedule order on the old project was unreasonable. And it was that unreasonable TSO was one of the things that drove this train right off the cliff. And I hope to heaven the regional board has learned something from that. I had a question that came up in the Wastewater Committee Tuesday, and I don't know if there is an answer, and that has to do with, does anybody know, does the CSD need any special legislation or any fancy anything to form a septic management district? Who's the controlling authority? Has that been totally turned over to the Regional Water Quality Control Board? I understand the MOU with the county has expired, and I guess they're trying to invent a new one. But if the regional board is in control, can they designate the CSD to go ahead and start the district? Or do you, I guess that would be the question. Can you just start a special district without any special legislation?
Okay, Mr. Blesky?
I've been going over the, I think it's Senate Bill 135, that in September they changed the CSD laws. And one of the most significant parts of the new of SB 135 and the new law is that it has actually linked the, it has actually now made CSDs have the same privileges under the Septic Management District, and I'm probably getting this wrong, Act of 1923. And when you, I happen to have some of those sites here from the Health and Safety Code. I believe it is, if you go to Health and Safety Code section 6975 through 6982, and I'll read 6975 if I may. An on-site wastewater disposal zone may be formed to achieve water quality objectives set by regional water quality control boards to protect existing and future beneficial water uses, protect public health, and to prevent and abate nuisances. whenever an on-site wastewater disposal zone has been formed, pursuant to this chapter, the public agency shall have the powers set forth in this article, which powers shall be in addition to any other powers provided by law. A public agency shall exercise its powers on behalf of a zone. And when you go into the next one, it talks about what on-site wastewater disposal zones are and the way that you can form that district. We're looking into that, and that opportunity now is available to CSDs, but I believe it's going to take cooperation with the regional board. We're going to have to perfect our plan on the septic management to a much higher level. And I also think that the county, I think that there's merit in it for the county to have, as we talked about with the EPA guidelines, to have a governmental agency or a series of governmental agencies working together. And this is just
better soon and come home soon. Here on the Central Coast, we have a regional problem, and a regional approach will bring a regional solution. In Morro Bay, I say to them, do us a favor, stop the waiver. In Los Osos, I say that dissolution is no solution to pollution. Now, what is coming out here, and a recurring theme that I keep seeing, is with the sludge problems and water problems, aquifer recharge problems, it all points towards a link-up of our communities. Even LAFCO is now talking about a joint powers agency. A long time ago, Sam Blakesley was talking about a sanitation district being a good idea, like we did in Orange County, where we had 21 cities and 25 representatives, and it worked together really well. Recently, they had a broken outfall pipe in Orange County. And I got an email from Surfrider Foundation down there, and one of the things that they said to me was, isn't it interesting, here we broke this outfall pipe and had to switch to the old outfall pipe, which was right near shore, and we could hardly test for the sewage and show it. Why? Because not long before, we had fought their sewage waiver, and they're already up to 70% full secondary treatment. So we avoided a catastrophe by being proactive. Now, while some of us may know about the regional board's 3-3 tie to deny the waiver to Morro Bay, what many won't know because of the lackluster reporting in our local papers is that at the same time, Chevron was meeting with the regional board in Watsonville very, very clandestinely trying to get a waiver of their own. So between these kind of shady dealings, all I can say is let's keep our eye on the prize. I think it's time to go regional. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think more and more people are seeing that now. And I want you to know that the community is very appreciative of this board and your great committees that are doing an excellent job. And together we can. And get well soon, Mr. Perkins and Mr. Wasley. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Ricardo. Director Tanker has a question for you. Can you tell us what waiver Chevron was asking for?
Well, they're asking for a waiver to decommission some facility, and it's basically an NPDES permit, which is a waiver from the Clean Water Act. They're saying it had something to do with sewage. They want to be able to dump a discharge with extra. I would guess it's a 301H similar waiver to what Morro Bay wants. And I think they've got their eye on Morro Bay, and because they know Morro Bay isn't getting their waiver, and they're not used to not getting their way around here, I think they're nervous. Now, there's only one waiver left in California, because the other waiver is San Diego, but it has international complications. Morro Bay stands alone dumping filthy sewage into the ocean, and Cayucas is a part of that problem. Now, it's really been interesting, Director Tacker, to have a community to the north doing all of this and blaming everything on Los Osos. The Ocean Outfall Group isn't buying it. And also, I would keep an eye out for selenium, because I'm worried about Lake Kesterson, which is not really a lake. It's really a big toxic puddle that they would just love to dump here on you. Thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight.
Thank you very much. Ms. Vick, welcome.
Good evening. Judy Vick, 19-year resident of Los Osos. I'm also experienced county employee as a civil servant over the past 10 years working in our health and human service programs to meet the needs of families. I'm also a candidate for District 2 supervisor. I'm happy tonight to let you know that I have the endorsement of the California Nurses Association, the Sierra Club, Vote the Coast, Supervisor Jim Patterson, and the United Domestic Workers of America Association. I wanted to speak to all of the district in a sense and letting them know that I am going to be representing all of my constituents supporting the needs in this district as well as the county. But I want to speak specifically to the people of Los Osos. This community has been through enough. We're pained by the divide. I am for local control and I am going to support local control. I'm also for a sustainable solution for Los Osos.
Burden. Busy man as he is. Jack Green. I mentioned Jack Green, but what he mentioned was that we have a lot of work ahead of us as the committees start to coalesce and interact. And the person I'd like to mention is actually Dr. Chipping, who I'd say he wears three hats, because he's on the Environmental Committee, he's also an alternate at the Wastewater Committee, but the third hat is that he's also a liaison from the Environmental Committee to the Wastewater Committee, so it's really a third hat, and it's great to work with someone like that. The other members of the Environmental Committee are Kathy Stettler and P.T. Johnson, the other alternate. Mr. Perkins, unfortunately, was not able to be at the Environmental Committee meeting. It's quite likely he will miss another meeting. He is not well. I know that specifically, last I've heard from him about him was on May 13, just before Mother's Day, where a tree was dedicated to Mr. Al Schweitzer at Sweet Springs. And I know that's something that Mr. Perkins is something he definitely would not have wanted to miss. And so these two great gentlemen and the Audubon Society really did give us Sweet Springs. I did help do a little weeding and a couple other things on that day, and I'm very happy to be able to have done that. There's a little more I see. I've got about 30 seconds, so I'll only mention that the Wastewater Committee had another lively meeting with good participation from the members and the public. Of course, as Julie Biggs says, there's always a risk with the public, but the public did ask good questions, and it was just a very wonderful to see that committee do the good work that they're doing. One thing that came up there in terms of on-site waste management is that AB 885 is coming, and it will affect everybody who currently is sort of not necessarily on the radar as the prohibition zone is, and possibly if Director Schicker could put a word, explain how that might work if at this time. Thank you.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. LAFCO. Well, first of all, your presentation was great. It was all about all the environmental acts, basically, all the way down to the basin plan, which is basically what you're following there. It's all about CEQA, Port au Cologne, public resources, the codes, the statutes, and the intent. LAFCO. Now, I don't know, Paul Hood says there's two choices here, and really there's only one. But it does give the CSD an option to go to the county and hammer out a joint powers agreement, but obviously he doesn't know this town very well to suggest in both options that we give up the authority to the wastewater treatment facility. And that means that the county would have purview over siting and system, and basically we know where that would lead, the quickest, fastest, regardless of what it costs type of system. Where this board is trying to follow CEQA to site a system and put the system together that's sustainable and all the other things that it's supposed to give this community, such as reuse. And that's neither one of these options here. I don't think highly of this, these options, but he does let us start to, as a community, to finally get the county involved. This is how it works. The regional board is the trustee agency right now. They're not the lead agency, which they've been trying to be. The county is the responsible agency. Also, so CSD is the lead agency. And so we cite the system, which is preferred under CEQA. We do all the environmental reviews, financing, economic, social, as well as the best environmental.
Saying 36% should have stopped right there before he even said it, because he knew better. It's just 36% is an outstanding number. And I just recall back, and I brought this up in Water Ops, so back on November 18th, he told this community when we took over the water department, we were at 20% unaccounted water. And he had brought it down through the meter changeouts to 6%. And now he tells us 12%. So it's just unfortunate that there's been some inaccurate information that the community or the CSD has acted on and voted on. And it just concerned me a little bit. So we are coming back on the 24th for the rate study to discuss that, and also to talk about the employees, that they're seeking other employees, and also to talk about the backhoe that he needs. Someone said something about just the political climate right now, and Mr. Anderson's article about doing it now. Los Osos cannot afford Mr. Anderson if he wants to do it right now, because we can't afford $250 a month. And in the just about the CDO hearings, is that the community has to understand that the CDOs, the CSD stood for this community, fighting for this community, and found the wrong and identified the wrong with Ms. Oaken being there. And I think that Roger Briggs shouldn't be there as well, and has actually given us a little bit of breathing room, which I, you know, you guys should take responsibility for that. That was a great thing. And the closed session today, the woman spoke about unity. Where are the dreamers tonight? It's just like the same MO that they had when before the recall, one meeting a month. They just don't want to talk about and debate. They have no interest in unifying this community. It's their way or no way, $250 a month with a sewer in the middle of town. It's unacceptable. I like the JPA idea, but we got to watch out for the possibilities of the administrative costs with the county. I think we can work something out. I think it's going to be a, it could work out real well, but you know how well it worked out for having them contribute to the HCP and how long it finally got them into play there. And this question was answered at closed session. I just didn't hear an answer. There was a, it was posed by Richard about if anybody had attended from the board to the site selection with Ripley. Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody on the board that went to site selection tour? Mr. Miller was Do you have anything to add?
No, nothing. I'm not aware of any involvement in that regard, but I wasn't attending personally.
I think the intent of the question is, we on the board need to remain completely impartial to the process that's going on with the consultants. It's very important that we maintain neutrality and let the process carry on. And that's why we're talking about this advisory, technical advisory group, to maybe watch the process and contribute to the process. But we on the board need to remain neutral so we don't end up in the same boat as we ended up before, where there's bias on the board. And that's why I think Mr. Swanson's asking the question, and that's why I want to endorse the idea myself. We understand that separation, and we intend to keep that separation. I'm speaking for myself, and I hope my colleagues agree. I think that's what we have to do. We have to let the process happen and let the best results come out. We hired our consultant. Now we have to trust, and we're going to have this technical advisory group help as well, and we'll work with staff. Anybody else have anything to say? Mr. Buskey? Okay, thank you. Who else would like to speak? Ms. Cooper?
Hi. Lacey Cooper, the Prohibition Zone. Still the Prohibition Zone. Well, someday that'll change. I wanted to just piggyback on what some of the other speakers were talking about. They were, talking about LAFCO, I think. Looking at a joint powers idea is a good thing to investigate. I guess I want to address people out there who are supporting the idea of dissolution or bringing the wastewater project back to the county alone. And I've been doing some research on that and finding out a lot of interesting things. A lot of times, it's like Roger Anderson's letter in the paper saying, oh, it'll only get more expensive. That's not totally true. In fact, it's not true at all. When I was doing research, actually going back to the county, it'd be more expensive because if they tried to put Tri-W in, the concrete has doubled in the last year. And what they don't understand is this board is, state water estimates have been $1,100 an acre foot. I believe is, what is it, Oceano, one of the places down there, is paying $1,575 an acre foot. And then I heard Bill Rabinoff talk about Nacimiento water at $2,800 an acre foot. So what you really have to realize is that you have to preserve the basin. And that's what this current board is trying to do. And I don't think people really understand that. So I encourage people who are supporting, like, dissolution or if they think going back to the county is a great idea, is to do your homework. You know, call your board people. Study up on it because it's not that way. It could be fabulously more expensive. So I just encourage you to do that before you just get on the bandwagon and emotionally, you know, charge to get the facts. It's important. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I think Lacey really brought up some really important points that people should think about. I was listening to an Oceano CSD meeting, and they're talking about having to pull out of their reserves $100,000 to clean their sewer pipes. And then they mentioned that that's every 2 years they do that. Now, if a town like Oceano is having to put out $100,000 every 2 years to clean out their pipes, those are the expenses that were not, you know, we were asking for all those expenses out front, and those are the ones that were the secret expenses that really made us realize the project was probably a $300 a month bill. Anyway, on another subject, I wanted to really urge people to come out to the LOCAC elections on Saturday. They'll be at the little schoolhouse here from 9 till 6 in the afternoon evening. And the two districts that are most important are, the map is hard to explain, but it is available at the CSD, and you can go see if you're in District 1 or in District 4. Those are the two districts that have elections going on. And LOCAC also will be presenting their new the the candidates who win will be presented at the meeting on the following Thursday. So we invite the community to start coming to LOCAC meetings. That's where a lot of smaller decisions that have to do with land use and issues, local issues about our streets and our parks and the buildings that are going up are being discussed, and we need more people to attend. And then lastly, I just wanted to send best wishes to John Perkins and Frank Wassily also, and to say that in sadness that I think John Burnham passed away recently, and I know he was a complete community assistant. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Okay, Mr. Cooper?
Bo Cooper. I think whatever Lacey says is perfect. hi. I think the wastewater project should be with the CSD. I think our CSD is the most reasonable, logical place for it to be. You all have no agenda except to do the public good. You're all very capable, wonderful people, and if you could be left alone, that would be the ideal. Life is political, and the politics dictates that there may be other costs that may be necessary. The divestiture to the county to take you guys out of the picture at all is not acceptable. Divestiture is the county project. If you guys and the county did the same project, you guys would do a much better job. You'd be concerned about ag exchange. You'd be concerned about recharge. You'd be concerned about all kind of things that the county just wouldn't care about. They just want to get a project in. It would cost us more money. I think the joint power agreement is probably a reasonable compromise. I don't really like the compromise, but nobody does. But given the political realities of it all, it's certainly worth exploring the joint powers agreement with the county. So I have utter faith in you guys, and I want to keep you guys absolutely in the project that I'll keep fighting for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Who else would like to speak to this evening? Mr. Barrow, are you next?
Go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Payne?
Is this public comment?
Yeah, it's the only public comment tonight, as on the consent item and the presentations.
Good evening, the board, staff, and members of the public. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Las Osas. Let's see, had some things here, notes I made. Half million to 1.2 million on the piranhas. I wonder if we could do the lysimeter tests under that special. Let's see. Oh, how are the three drinking water wells coming, or was that held up because of funding? In the upper aquifer. Oh, and evidently Dr. Press must have been in Watsonville the 11th. I was wondering why he couldn't make it all the way down here from Santa Cruz. One other thing, when I mentioned Santa Cruz, they're in the same Central Coast Water Quality Control Board district, and they have a mixture of septic tanks and a wastewater treatment plant. If we get a wastewater treatment plant, I hope we don't make one big enough to take septage from anywhere else, because we don't have heavy metals in our water here, and we can use it for recharge a lot safer. We don't need any nacimento mercury here at all. Guess that's about it. Be answered. Thank you.
Just to answer, let me do the best I can here. I got one regarding the on-site costs for Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro. We have three systems that range from about 500 to 1.4. Those are very, very preliminary figures. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to think, is it going to work if I use a factor of 2? Is it going to work if I use a factor of 3? So we're kind of along those lines. They're real soft numbers. As far as lysimeter tests, we intend to put lysimeters in, but because the regional board is going to want data on that.
Yes.
If in fact we go that route, the lysimeter that we had at the fire station was only 1 foot under the gravel pack and getting readings, preliminary readings. We're waiting for more. But 1-2 is, you know, we're at least moving in the right direction. And that's significantly below the 7 of the basin plan. And we've got, what, 50 foot of sand there?
Yes.
Unique sand. Number of houses in Bay Ridge and Vista Vero. I don't have it on the top of my head, but we do have the count.
Okay.
ACL sites. One of the reasons why we're looking at putting into the Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge Estates and the fire station is that's the only, we have $6.6 million of proposed penalties of fines, and it only is to those sites.
Those three.
So what we're trying to do is try to offset the penalties with action that works, not just some pie-in-the-sky thing. And I think we're heading in the right direction. If we can, we got a lot of I's to dot, T's to cross, but it's looking like it's moving in the right direction. I believe we are working the water wells. I think they were doing some rehab on those wells. I know George
it's in his staff report.
Has the driller. Yeah.
It's in George's staff report.
It's in
his
staff report. And if you have any questions, let me know, and we'll get an amplification on that, on where they're at. Also, Santa Cruz, I believe, who's the on-site guy at Regional? What's his name?
Howard Kolb.
Ingeniously set up, I believe it was in Santa Cruz, and I haven't met Howard, but he has a reputation for being very, very ingenious, and he set up a nitrate management system in Santa Cruz that has merit. There's a lot of ways we can go, so, yeah. I hope that answered your questions.
Oh, very good. Thanks for answering. I'm so used to just being, thank you for your comments, Mr. Payne, and go sit down. Talk to you later.
Depends on how late it is.
Thank you. Mr. Sassanian.
I'd like to follow up on something Mr. Payne asked, and that was about installing a lysimeter before we put in a piranha so that we know what we start with. Well, what is the cost of installing a lysimeter all by itself? And well, is that a feasible action just to gather background information if we're going to put one in anyway?
We were looking to do that to find the old ones. I believe it was a camp dresser, and McGee did that, or CH2M Hilliard. It was
Weber.
The guys that did the study years ago out at
one. Wasn't that a Black and Beach?
Medcaffinetti did
that. Medcaffinetti, the Medcaffinetti study. We couldn't find them. What we can do, though, is we can actually set the base at the discharge of the tank. We can set the lysimeters in before. I think we paid, what, $120 for the hardware to put the one in up at the fire station. It wasn't expensive at all. But we can definitely do that to set that. And Regional may actually want us to take a look at that to test the effectiveness.
It seems to have merit to me in that you'd be gathering that background data before you even tried to clean things up. You'd know where you started from.
Well,
it's just something that seems to appeal, and I guess I'd like to carry on that discussion with you guys at some point in the future, not too distant future.
The one thing that we did on the fire station is we looked at what the discharge was at the tank, and then we were able to extract it. Basically, we had that.
Page 43, is that what you need?
Thank you. Many great minds with excellent training are bringing this community about in the right direction and assisting the CSD. That's an invaluable asset that you have. I want to thank you for putting this demonstration. Just wanted the headlines. Oh, well. Anyway, the management plan, Clean Water Starts at Home, was the title. Clean Water Starts at Home. I can remember 1998 getting a call and volunteering to help get people to get on the bus to go down to the Coastal Commission to get a permit to form the CSD, you know, to get the coastal development, you know, permit from the county held up. And we were successful at that. And now I saw all those documents that were created by the previous board. And now you are creating historical documents. And they are. And I know Mr. Blesky is very careful about this interim on-site management program. But there, I talked to Dr. Wickham, and he said there's probably 200 or 300 failing leach fields in the community if there's that many leach fields right now. A leach field is designed to be about 20 years old, and they're all over that. So we really need to get on this. If we were responsible and we care about our drinking water aquifer and we care about our responsibilities for polluting, we need to do that right now. And I want to salute you for getting this thing going. It's really important. It's very, very important. That's what this whole CSD was started about, was cleaning up and addressing it in an environmentally proper way. And so thank you for that. A few other comments. LAFCO is authorized, if you ask them, they can authorize you to have a health clinic here. I don't know if you knew that. That's one of their duties. And you could pursue that if you wanted to look into it. We don't have a health clinic. MedStop was going to be in Morro Bay. We don't have that. So I'm just suggesting that that might be an idea, is to get a health clinic by going through LAFCO, and you can get a big company to come in here and do it all for no cost to you. Some of the other things I'd like to say is that Judy Vicks is a great candidate, and you know, it really would be nice to have somebody on the Board of Supervisors that would support you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Markinson's next.
Richard Margetson. I want to follow up on Keith's question about the site selection tour. The reason I brought it up earlier and he brought it up is at one of the committee meetings, somebody from the audience clarified that one of the directors did attend one of the site selection sites with Ripley, and I think there may be a conflict down the road that you may need to address, but I mean, that's for you to look into. The LAFCO proposals, the one thing that bothers me throughout this whole two-page document is it talks about they with you constructing the sewer. Not a sewer, the sewer. Because it's not going to be this sewer at that site. I want to talk a minute about the committees. All the committees are up and running. There's some tremendous talent on these committees. And I believe if these committees had been in place 3 years ago with the makeup of the committees as they are now, I don't think some of the problems we currently are trying to address would be in play. I don't think we would have, I don't think these committees would have allowed the hiring of a fire mechanic, the purchasing, never using, and then selling of emergency services vehicle to Oceano at a loss, the $600,000 that was funneled to Maria Singleton for PR. I think the committees would have pushed for a water conservation program and implemented one by now. I think these committees would not have accepted a $1.2 million facility proposal for the water department. I think they would have insisted that Rob be on board at the 30, but she did not. She was not for dissolving the district. She was for local control. And if you look around town where the dissolve the CSD signs are and the website signs are, look and see whose signs are near or right next to those signs. They're all Roger Anderson signs. That's an indication, and I talked about his input at the Barnard site earlier. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Director Tacker?
Mr. Margetson's comment about the site selection and the tour. Mr. Barrow did see me have breakfast last week with some of the team members. The team split up and went in different directions. I sought a telephone book for one of the team members who was going to be contacting farmers for potential ag exchange. And that has been my only involvement. I got the man a phone book, but I don't know where they went or who they spoke to. But from there, I did meet a few of them that morning for breakfast.
Okay. Again, just to reiterate, the board understands our need to remain neutral in the process of the consultants. We have to let them do their job, and when they report to us, they will report to us at the same time, and we will be delivering that news to you. So, thank you. Mr. Scheib.
Rob Scheib. I hadn't planned on saying anything tonight, but I wanted to basically say thank you. I am one of the CDO defendants. I've talked with lots of people in the community, and one thing that I hear too often is that people out there don't have faith in this board. And I just wanted to state publicly that when I received my CDO, nobody from the previous board came out to help me. When I received my CDO, no one from the county came out to help me. And when I received my CDO, nobody from the water board came out to help me. But you guys did. And so to everyone out there, yeah, I mean, our faith is in you guys. It has to be because there's no one else to put our faith in. And I just want to thank you for the job you're doing. And thank you for working on the septic management program because it's long overdue. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks very much. It means a lot to hear from you. Would anyone else like to speak tonight? Closing public comment. If I don't see anybody else, stand up. Okay. Bringing back the consent calendar to the board. Do I have a motion to accept the consent calendar? Or any questions or comments first? Okay. Motion, please.
I'll move to accept the consent calendar as is.
I'll second the motion. Okay. Could we have a roll call vote?
Director Stennett. Director Stennett.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. We're going to have closed comments from the directors, and just to announce that our next meetings is scheduled for June 1st. June 1st, same time and same place, 4:30 for closed session, 7 o'clock for open session. And it will be a regular meeting with public comment. Okay, who would like to close with their comments? Director Sennett just looks like he wants to talk first.
Probably because I don't have a whole lot to say except good night. And Mr. Scheib, you thanked us for coming to your aid, but actually it's people like you, the citizens, that invest their energy into the research and coordination efforts. And we see this through the committees, and it's an act of necessity, but it's a public involvement, community involvement that really moves the CSD along. I'd like to thank you.
Thank you very much. Director Sesenia.
This is a community effort. As hard as our staff works, it wouldn't be possible without the community pulling with us. And something I heard earlier tonight about the committees, I didn't go to a lot of the committee meetings under the previous board, but boy, do I detect it.
But in 2000, this board approved a water will serve permit or a letter, an intent for that project. It had a one-year life. It expired. Farbstein was back last year, and we tried to consider it at about 2:30 in the morning, April of 2005, in a very contentious room. and that didn't happen. So it came back last fall with this board, and the representative is asking that we do get back to it and get it over with. It is a ministerial act, and I'd like to see it on a very near agenda. Mr. Bleski.
Not a problem. We have had some changes since the last time we discussed it, CDOs, things like that. We'll have to consider. If I don't have it ready to go June 1st, I will provide you status. We do have a budget that's going to be in front of you, but I will keep it. We can do it as part of one of our regular reports, Farmstead Progress, because it did fall off the radar screen, and when we do keep them on a status report, well, you know, they get tracked better.
Yeah, it's just something that it's a service the district provides, and we need to say yes or no to providing water for this project.
So yes, that's, and we'll get that back. If not, we'll have status and where we're going on it.
Okay. And back to my director comments. I want to touch on the LAFCO issue and the letter that's taped to the table, so don't steal it. No, there's going to be copies available at the district office, and it is conceptual, I think, from LAFCO, and we are given two options. Option A is to divest the sewer power from the district, and option B is for the county and the district to enter into a joint powers agreement. I don't like either of these. I think we're working very hard in a very positive manner, and I would like to retain the project. I think there could be some help from the county that we could use, but I think local control is more important. We'll obviously be having to discuss this a little bit more, but I don't particularly like government. And when I heard Rob Miller talk about the consultant and a lysimeter for $50,000, that's all I'm thinking is that's government layering it with the engineer, and that's how the work gets done, and it's expensive. And so when I see the Local Agency Formation Commission recommending a joint powers agreement, it would create a new governmental structure that may be able to obtain financing at a reasonable interest rate while limiting the liability to the county and the district through the Joint Exercise of Powers Act. Agencies may agree to assist one another in using a joint powers agreement that establishes a board, commission, or other agency to provide governance for the project. I just see another layer of government, and that concerns me, and I know we're going to be talking about it, but it's another staff, it's another lawyer, and we're well on our way to a real solution for Los Osos, and one that I think everyone can buy into, and this is a distraction for me, and it bothers me. It bothers me, and I hope that when dissolution is on the calendar for the LAFCO Commission on June 15th, that I hope all of you are there. Everyone in the community is there. I know they'll have never seen a community come out for an item like Los Osos will. And I think, I don't even think people who advocate dissolution really want to give it up. I think they do want local control and a sewer solution locally, a water basin solution. It seems simple to me, but it's complicated by politics. And politics don't belong in science and engineering. That's it for tonight.
Thank you, Director Tagger. Vice President Fouché?
I just want to express my appreciation for everybody that comes out every night and says what they say so we can hear what they're thinking. And my appreciation to the staff. They do doing an incredible job. And I will just close and say, just please conserve water. That's my mantra. That's what we need to do. And I will try to keep pressing that to people as much as I can. So everybody have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I talked plenty in the beginning of the meeting, so I'm not